This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone, you're at the table with Barry and Mary Anna. We are talking about colours today, blue Māoris and golden boys. Congratulations, Barry, Te Aroha Spa Town team.
Wasn't a big deal. It's always nice to win, isn't it?
That gold medal on Saturday.
You have to keep bringing up that gold thing, don't you?
Just hold your seats, people. You're going to have a chuckle about this because when he told me this little bit of his life that happened recently, I was at an accident on the motorway. I was laughing so much. Go on, the floor is all yours.
I went to have a haircut on Monday. What is this getting brought up on the Bridge Zone? You may well ask. Anyway, I had this haircut, and when I went to pay, the lady said to me, "Have you got your gold card on you?" Well, I thought I would text Mariana for some sympathy. That was not forthcoming.
I told you, you're always the old chap.
Would you believe it? I'm still in my 50s.
Age before beauty, that's what it is. And you're the man that has all the history and all the stats. Back in 1990, we did this. Been playing for decades. So if you think that's hilarious, let me know.
What bridge have you got coming up over the weekend, Mariana?
I don't really have any this weekend, Barry. I'm having a bit of a holiday, I guess. I'm playing Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night. Four sessions of bridge is pretty unusual for me. I'm not seasoned like you.
I played last night at the Wellington Bridge Club.
How'd you go?
I didn't go to Wellington to do it, of course. They're having a teams event. It's a lot of fun. Online teams event. So coming up on the weekend, Taradale have got a couple of tournaments, junior and intermediate. Hara and New Plymouth have got interclub going on. The national 15A teams in Rotorua. Looks like about 14 teams entered. So they'll be wanting a few more entries for that, I'm sure, if people would like to put an entry in. Not too late. Mount Albert Intermediate Pairs is on. Marlborough Intermediate Pairs. Otago Junior Pairs. The Mid-South Interclub teams in Oamaru. And the Marlborough Junior Pairs, Kaiwarangi Multigrade Teams on. There's actually quite a lot on, isn't there? And this is interesting, the Fielding 8B Charity Pairs. I don't know what they do in Fielding, Mariana, but this tournament is always booked out well ahead of the closing
date. So. It's a pretty big tournament in the calendar down there. I remember always going to that. Fielding's a great little club. I got an email just recently from Air New Zealand, and I had a look at them, and they've got cheap fares. So people, I know Barry was talking about South Island teams in the Cargill, $2,000 all up. Well, if you're in Auckland, after the 18th of August, Auckland to Invercargill, $89 one way. So you got no excuse. That's an amazing deal. Invercargill, I'd be pushing that. Check out Air New Zealand's cheap fares, $89 one way. You can get down there and back for under $400. Amazing.
This is only Auckland, I'd just point out. If you're within range of Auckland Airport, that's a pretty good deal. I have got a reason for not playing, Mariana. My partner's going to be in Spain the long way. Are there any $89 airfares from Barcelona to Invercargill, do you think?
No. Jenny not. Going tramping again, is she? Or walking?
Going walking with her sister in Spain. So Invercargill. If you would like to go to Invercargill, I've never been there, Mariana, have you?
No, I've seen the picture though. You get enough people, I might be interested in going down to Invercargill. $400.
Yeah, look, you probably get a spare bed at Moss Wiley's house.
We could stay up drinking pina coladas and he could play the ukulele. That'll be good.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Hey, I got a question. We were having that little chat about losers. What did you call it?
Loser count.
So can you just explain what that means?
It's sort of not very fashionable with some people, but I mean, I think it's quite a good thing to use. You can only use it when you've found a fit with partner. There's no use much counting your losers until you've actually found out that you have at least an 8-card fit in something. And the way that loser count works is you look at each suit and see whether you're missing an ace or a king or a queen. If you've got a singleton or a doubleton or something, that's only one loser if you've got a singleton.
Yep.
If you've got ace, queen, small, small, that's one loser. You've got the king missing. If you've got ace, king, small, small, that's one loser. If you've got king, queen, small, that's one loser. You're just looking at ace, king, queen in each suit, basically. Now, on a normal average sort of an opening hand, you'll find that you've got seven losers.
Right.
If you've got a bit better than that, you'll have a six-loser hand. And if you've got five lose a hand, that's a really good hand. If your partner's opened one heart and you jump to three hearts, or you tell them that you've got a limit raise in hearts, that's usually about an eight loser hand. What you should do is you should add together the number of losers that you have in your hand, the number of losers that your partner has in their hand, and take them away from 18. And that's the number that you should bid. So if you've got a seven loser hand, partner's got a seven loser hand, that's 14. Take them away from 18. You should bid four.
At the four level, okay.
You can make four of a major. Well, you can make four of a minor, but of course nobody wants to be in four of a minor. You might be looking at three no's there. Certainly useful when you've got to fit in the majors. I had an interesting hand the other day where I had only 12 points, but I had just a six loser hand. So my ace-queen to five, ace-queen to four, too small, it was only six losers. Partner told me they had a game force, and I thought, I know it's only six losers, but it's only 12 points, and it's not really that special. I got a couple of doubletons, so I just told my partner I had a minimum, and she signed off in game, and we missed the slam. It was a very sad story, Mariana. I should have the loser count. It would have got me there.
Right. I remember Judge Julie, when we were talking about the description for opening two clubs, that you could use the rule of 29 or 23 plus or a very strong hand. But she mentioned something, if you recall, about doesn't really apply to lose account evaluations. Did I recall that properly?
Yeah, I think you may have done. Some people, you know, they open like a strong club opener and they call it as 15 plus or five loser hand or something or other. So if they've got some sort of distributional hand or four loser, or well, I don't know how many losers they say, but they can use lose account. Until you've actually found that you've got a fit, loser count is not so useful. Once you've got a fit, it actually is quite a useful thing. I nearly always count my losers once we've got a fit while I'm deciding what I'm going to do.
Well, there's Barry's tip of the week.
Yep, if you're having a fit, count your losers.
Get your gumboots on. We're going down to the pond with Kermit.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
Hey, 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 it's the Bridge Players. 3 days in a row for me, Pam.
Well, this has been an incredible Bridge Week for me. I played last weekend in the Swiss Pairs. I played in Sydney on Thursday in a Swiss match point, played with Graham Tufnell, and then I played in the Wellington teams on the weekend. Can we talk about something other than Bridge Please, people? I am bridged out.
I'm bridged
out. The answer is no, we can't.
Say you're forcing me, I have got something that I would like to talk about. And it's about bidding what's in your hand and trying to make it easy for your partner. And I played with Jan Alabaster again this week, and it's something I really, really enjoy about playing with her is she's so reliable. And I think bidding what's in your hand is good for lots of reasons. Now, it does feel really good when you do something off the wall and you fool the opponents, especially if they're, you know, like somebody really good. So you get that one board where you've pulled something off. But the problem is, the flip side of that is you've just eroded your partnership. So partner doesn't really know what's going on, not really trusting you then. And if it's something that you do regularly, you just wrecking your partnership. So I would say just bid what's in your hand, try and help partner. Don't make partner second guess what the hell you're doing. That's what I reckon anyway.
So it sort of sounds, some people think just sticking to the system and doing normal stuff all day long, all week long, all year long sounds a bit boring, but the game is hard enough. It is hard enough without trying to depart from the system and do something weird and hope the partner's going to get it, because I think I agree 100%. I know that somebody said to me once that if you ever psych, which is sort of an example of that, you know, bid something that you haven't got, you don't need to do it very often, but if you do do it, make sure everybody hears about it.
There are certain situations where you're not going to do your partner any harm. Right? You know, as I said, I quite like the odd psych. Your partner's going to not be harmed by it, but it takes quite a lot of experience to know when those situations are and whether your partner can cope with it. I think it takes a lot of experience. And I think that if you want to build a really good partnership, be reliable that's walking before you can run. So doing a cycle, whatever, that's running. Learn to walk and jog first, and I think you'll build a much more successful partnership. And it is a partnership game.
I was playing a different partnership. I was playing with Mike Curry and something, actually. And we were having a discussion beforehand, as you do. Or this was before we even got to the bridge club. And I said, look, if you think that I'm doing something clever, I won't be. I reckon that's probably quite a good way to play. Don't try to do this dazzling thing that is just far too clever for everybody else, because most of the time, partner won't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, true. I actually did one of those on the weekend.
What a what?
I did something that my partner might not understand. I thought it was reasonably something that they might work out what I was on about. And she said to me, and quite justifiably, and my teammate said, that was pretty deep. Because I could see my head. That was pretty deep for her to work that out. And I, in retrospect, I think I shouldn't have put her in that position. We survived. We didn't make our game. But I did put her into a spin. And that's not a good thing to do to your partner.
Some partnerships, you're in the bloody washing machine all day long.
I can't cope with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I cannot cope with it if I don't know what's going on. I start losing confidence in partner, but more importantly in myself, and then I start to just give up. I just don't know what's going on. So that's me. I guess it's, you know, I am on the spectrum. I think everybody's noticed that. I can't cope when it happens.
Usually when you're going to do something a bit off the wall, or that you think, partner will probably get this or whatever, or maybe they will or maybe they won't, you usually think this bid is just going to be such an awesome bid, or this thing that I'm going to do is going to be amazing. Well, I've got news for you. No matter how amazing and how brilliant it is, if partner's not going to get it, it isn't going to work out. It isn't going to be a happy ending most times.
No.
It's better off to bid something that partner will know what it means, even if it isn't as brilliant as this off-the-wall thing that you'd like to try out.
Yes, and if I had an undo button, I wouldn't have made that bit again. Right. I would just do something very obvious.
That's why honeymoon bridge, well, you know what they call honeymoon bridge, works well. When you're playing with somebody the first time and you just think, I have to make everything really clear to partner, because that sometimes works out extremely well. Because
it does. And that is actually, Jan and I have talked about it, and we will talk about how that's how we want to play. We're not going to do anything confusing. We're just going to look after each other and make it as easy as we can for each other. And I really love that about playing with you.
Well, I almost went blue in the face the other day because I was holding my breath for so long. First time I've ever done it was about Texas transfers at the four levels. So partner opens one, no trump, and I've got this massive long suit. So I bid four heart transferring to Bays, and it went past, and then there was this long pause, and I was like, and then
just
I
just trying to get your heart rate up a bit, you know.
It was, and then I thought, you should have transferred and then mid game to make it really easy. And then that's when I started holding my breath, and then finally the alert, and I was like, So you wonder, is there an easy way, or do you want to put a bit of pressure on your partner? But there's no pressure. They're like, they remember. But
I think the universe, according to Pam, is that if you have an agreement with partner, then you should both know it. And you can't ever bid as though your partner doesn't know your agreements. You just have to assume that they do. Yeah. Mm. And if you're not, then don't have the agreement.
But I was going a bit blueberry.
I can imagine that. Was there smoke coming out your ears?
almost. It was like, I know what those ladies that used to wear those corsets, and they used to have people's feet on their back while they're pulling those strings, and I know what that feels like now.
Oh, it's just a game of cards, people. Come on.
No, it's not.
It's to the death, isn't it?
Anyway. If he'd have passed four hearts, it wouldn't have been a game of cards anymore.
I probably would have chucked them. It would have been daggers like the little ninjas. Yeah, it was fun.
I don't believe that, Mariana, because I've seen you in action and you are a very good partner.
Thank you.
What do you do when some disaster happens like that? What do you say or what do you do?
You take Bob Hammond's advice. You do the only thing you can do. You put the cards back in the board and you move on to the next one. Sounds easy.
Next board.
Start breathing again.
It's not. It's all easy to say, not so easy to do. Yeah.
Join us next week at the Lily Pad
with Pam Livingston, Bridge Coach.
See you. Phenomena. Hey, and I was listening to a little interview with Jeff Mestroth, and he was talking about how he really liked the values of having a 9-card fit over an 8-card fit and how he reevaluates his hand. What do you think about that?
I absolutely agree. I'm Marty Bergen, who invented Bergen razors, the 4-card razors to a 5-card major opening. He's done that because he believes, I think he says, the 9th trump is the most important card in bridge. So having a 9th trump is really huge. It is really useful. Yeah, I do agree. It's much easier to play a hand with a 9-card trump fit when you've got 5 and there's 4 in dummy. You can do all sorts of weird and wonderful things, Mariana.
So that was pretty good.
That's what Bergen razors were invented for.
So do you teach in your improver lessons Bergen razors?
No, I haven't really. A lot of people that are going to be at an improvers class, they'll already have their own style of showing major suit raises. They might just play Jacoby. Who knows what they'll do? Certainly, if you have got 4-card support for partners 5-card opening major, there is nothing more important for you to tell partner than that.
Awesome. Kia ora, Candace.
And Mariana, how are you today?
Very good, thank you. So, just me, the old one is having a rest.
Fair enough. You have to rest at that age, don't you?
You do. What do you have for us today?
Well, I thought I would share the word menaki. This word sort of came into my head when I was playing out at Howick on Saturday. And the word menaki is a really important one in Māori culture. And it means to be generous, to be a good host, to care for people, to care for things. And it also means to show respect. The reason the word menaki popped into my head on Saturday, and I thought I would share it with everyone, is that when I was out at Howick Bridge Club, I experienced menaki in two ways. And the first was the kitchen helpers. So incredibly kind, and can I get you some more tea or some more milk, or would you like some butter on your scone? And it was just a really lovely atmosphere. Nice. To play in that sort of very caring environment. So thank you to the ladies at Howick Bridge Club. And also the other thing is that on their scorecards, Howick Bridge Club has a little reminder, which is something we often forget, to show support and encouragement to your opposition when they do something really well. And it's something that is quite hard for a bridge player when you're sitting there and your opponent's bid to 7 clubs or 7 no trumps and you sit there and you put your head in your hands and you think, oh, here comes the bottom board. You pick yourself up afterwards and show some menaki, some respect and support for your opponents who have done something really, really well. That was just such a good reminder that, you know, we can't get discouraged because all of us are going to have that situation where our opposition reach this amazing contract and they're the only ones in the room. And while we're shaking our heads, they've done something really fantastic. Give them their credit, I guess. Credit is due.
Actually, that is something that I do. If the hand looks like they play it well, I regularly say, nice hand. I don't want to overdo it, so I just say, oh, nice hand.
Arawe is a very common word in Te Reo Māori, which means fantastic, awesome. And that might be a nice way just to give your opponent some credit when they've done something really, really fantastic.
Thanks for that. Ka kite.
Hey, Tera Wiki. Ki pai tō kēmu. Have a good game of bridge till next week, everyone.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning, Judge Julie. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Our offsider can't make it today, so it's just the girls, your listeners. So we're going to talk about directing online, and Judge Julie might let you know about learning to be a director online. You've got open slather, Julie.
Okay. I know that everybody has got a view about online and what's happening at the moment. So the more we have available for people, the more they have the opportunity to learn. So I think it's numbers, the numbers game. If we have lots of people doing things, sooner or later, a certain proportion of them are going to come through and either play or direct or whatever it is that we're teaching them.
Yep.
So online gives us another arrow in our bow to get more done. Lessons online, it depends who's teaching them, are done generally with presentations, same as they are at the club. And very much at the moment, you can do exactly what you do at the club.
Yeah, there's a couple of options you were saying. You can do...
You've got Zoom, you've got Microsoft Teams, and you've got RealBridge for your presentations. RealBridge has only just come out with the ability to have a group broadcast where you can share your screen to do a presentation. So there are still some things around that with interaction that we've got to get used to, but certainly it's working well from the one that I have done so far.
Is it a little bit more of an advantage with yourself being a director and directing on RealBridge, knowing how to use the software or the platform?
I think just technology. For example, I am lousy at doing stuff with my TV, and that's probably just because I can't be bothered learning. But I mean, seriously, it's diabolical. But I'm used to dealing with computers, and when I'm doing teaching, to a large self-taught for doing presentations.
Yep.
And the difference between online and face-to-face is online, you've got an empty space out in front of you.
Yes.
But I found it really scary to have a lot of people in a room not saying anything as well. So in some ways, empty space is better than faces.
True.
A person who told me that, you know, people are interested because they're quiet. They're not fidgeting. They're not doing things. Speaking to a quiet group, it still feels like, what's going on out there?
Right. Hey, what are your thoughts about online lessons for directors?
I think that's a good idea. As I said, I think the more we can do, the more we can provide, the more likely we are to get comeback that people are getting interested in something and doing it. And I know with RealBridge, we've had some experienced players directing RealBridge because the bulk of the calls that you get are mechanical. They're errors, lead out of turn, insufficient bid, revokes, things that you can't actually do online. The vast majority of calls that we get, which are things just silly things going wrong, boards going out of order, all of those things, they can't happen when we're playing online. So we actually get more of the nitty-gritty calls, and experienced players, providing they're prepared to ask for help around the laws in this area, help us just at a club level. I'm not in the slightest suggesting that we have unqualified people doing tournaments, because there's a whole raft of stuff involved in those things that we want to get really, really right. But at the moment, we've got people directing, and we're getting people interested in directing because they're actually doing it.
That's another question. How do you whet the appetites of the players to become directors? What do you think is a secret?
A lot of people are interested in learning about their environment. And our problem with the law book in Bridge is similar to one they had in golf years ago, where you need to have people that actually know the laws to provide you with rulings, which is a real shame, because golf did a lot for itself when it simplified and went from having interpretation to just straightforward penalties.
Yeah.
Right. And it has been mooted at various times to the zone and to the WBF and things like that, that perhaps we should look at that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I mean, if you play anything, you generally want to learn the rules. Unfortunately, with Bridge, unlike any other sport, it's not a case of blowing your whistle and saying, or you. You've actually got to get people to call, because we can't keep an eye on every table, irrespective of whether we're face-to-face or online. So we need people to call the director when things go wrong so that we can fix them up. And then we have people that are playing that think that they know better, and sometimes, in all fairness to them, they do. We have people that don't understand and want to argue. It's really hard, because we teach and we direct and things, because we meet people, we love the game, we're enthused. And we come along as volunteers or very poorly paid workers in a lot of cases to help. And then we have people who are being really rude, who won't even have the courtesy of listening to us and just want to be argumentative. So we don't give our volunteers the courtesy and appreciation. So nearly all the people we have that start off being interested in directing at some point hit that person where they just throw it in the bin and walk away. Because it is really hard. The law say you should listen to the director, and if you don't agree with the director's ruling, you don't argue at the table.
Yes.
You listen to the ruling. If you don't like the ruling, you can ask for a review. There is no reason in the world, if someone gives you a ruling and says blah, 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 and you say, look, I'm sorry, but, you know, that doesn't feel right to me. I'd like to have it reviewed.
Yep.
The director can go away, ask advice. And I was talking the other day to someone and I said, directing is not an us against them. We are there to facilitate and help people enjoy the game and do our best that when things go wrong, they get fixed. We're not there to say, I think my point of view is better than your point of view. And my judgment is so much better than yours. A lot of our directors are not good players and they don't have to be. That we can talk to good players if we want advice. And often we do. And Patrick, for example, if he makes a ruling and people aren't happy, he gets the law and he writes up, Barry will tell you about an A4 sheet a lot of the time, about the hand and why his ruling is what it is and why the law is what it is.
Okay.
So and when people want to discuss it, you don't have to do it immediately. We don't expect our players to know the laws. I would love that they could, but we don't. If people want to know when we're not busy, when we're not setting up the room at the beginning of the session, when we're not scoring at the end of the session, but when we've finished doing that and we've got a bit of time, all of us would be happy to discuss a ruling to explain why it was made the way it was.
Yeah, that's quite educational too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Something like this, Bridge Science, allows us to discuss things as well. When you get a ruling about a hesitation or somebody pulled out bidding box cards, somebody said something when they shouldn't have, it's all about understanding the whys. It's not that we're in a bad mood and we're slapping you on the hand, not literally because you're not allowed to do that. We are just doing what everyone does when they're refereeing anything and applying the appropriate rules to the game. But if you don't understand, it can feel pretty unfair at times.
Well, I guess that's a good reason for us to say, hey, if you've got any ruling that you'd like a little bit of clarification on, send it in, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. We'll give it to Judge Julie and all bailiff, and they'll be able to talk about their views on it.
Anything you want to ask, somebody else will want to ask as well. If you don't understand something that's happened to you, I guarantee there's a whole raft of people out there that are suffering the same problem.
That was awesome. All right, we've got to shoot. We'll catch you next week. Happy bridge, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this Free FM podcast. If you want to hear more content like this, you can support Free FM via Patreon. Head to patreon.com/freefm89 to find out more.